joy to be in God's house this morning. I appreciate the freshness of the Spirit of God. Genesis chapter number 5. Well, Brother Mike, I needed and enjoyed his message Wednesday night. I'm glad we've got a God that still has something for us on a Wednesday night. Now in your Bibles, Genesis 5, the Bible said in verse number 1, this is the book of the generations of Adams. I'm glad we've got the book today. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them and blessed them. Now watch in your Bibles. As Adam lived, so Adam died. He begot children. And the descendants of Adam is picked up now in verse number 21 of a Bible character that I want to preach on this morning. Genesis 5 and verse number 21, the Bible said, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. The word Methuselah means judgment will come. Now you'll note within this birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived 65 years. I don't know what he was doing, but he was living. But he never really got to living till he turned 65 years old, for now something happens in Enoch's life. You'll notice as Methuselah is born, and Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived. The Bible said in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. After he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not. For God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. Brother Felton, would you pray for me this morning before I preach today? Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing reverence in the reading of the Word of God. In Genesis 5, verse 22, I'd like to preach out this passage today, and Enoch walked with God. I'm going to preach on this simple Bible subject this morning on walking with God. Walking with God. Now, there's some things that I pinned down about Enoch that the Bible teaches that if anybody walks with God, there are things that is manifested in Enoch's life that we must realize that is a great influence to ours. If me and you are going to walk with God, you'll notice, first of all, there has to be a commission to respond. A commission to respond. How did Enoch get with God? How did you get with God? There's a heresy going along nowadays in our country that everybody are children of God. That's not so. We must be born as children of God. We must be born of the Spirit from above. So I ask you this, in Enoch's life, as he was 65 years old and he begot Methuselah, and no doubt as God showed him the name Methuselah, and all Bible names had a great meaning. This meaning meant judgment to come. I wonder, did God intervene in Enoch's life with this child? As God reminded Enoch that
to name this boy Methuselah, reminded him that judgment must come. May I remind everybody on the sound of my voice today that judgment is coming. And therefore, no doubt, God got his attention. Has there ever been a time that God got your attention? I want to say there was a commission to respond. I want to say, first of all, there was an interruption. God must interrupt man in order that he be saved. You see, as I was minding my own business, I'm glad that I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and there was an interruption coming my life. Can I remind you, maybe Enoch was slave just like me and you, that God gave him a word. Aren't you glad one day that God gave you a word and interrupted me and you in our lives? The Apostle Paul was minding his own business on the Damascus Road. He would go in church services like this, and he would lead them back to Jerusalem to be stoned and whipped. And he was breaking up church services like you and I go to today. And as Paul was going down the Damascus Road, suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And God said something to him. Has there ever been a time that God said something to you? So he spoke by a word. He spoke by a witness. He said, judgment is coming, Enoch. Sir, I want to remind you, you'll not live this life and lay it down. You'll live this life and you're going to answer with God with what you've done in this life. Mom and daddies, God has entrusted you with children. We won't just raise children and walk out and not meet God. We're going to give an account of what God has given us in this life in which we live. Judgment is coming. And therefore, there was a word that came. There was a witness that came. There was a warning that came. What kind of preacher would a preacher be unless he warned people about an eternity to come? And you must be born again. You'll notice there was a commission to respond, so Enoch had to respond to God. Has there ever been a time that you've responded to God? When God has knocked upon your heart, has there ever been a time that you've responded? And I know people respond in a different way. As a young preacher, I felt like that everyone would be dealt with the way I was, but it's not so. I had a Damascus Road experience. Many of you has had an experience like the woman at the well or the woman that had an issue of blood. Maybe in a church service and in a quiet place, you just reached out and you touched the hem of His garment. Or you may be like me and you was minding your own business and God gave you a word, but we all got something in common. We all responded to a God that awakened us of our condition. You must be born again. If they call this preacher to bury you this week, where will you be with God? You must be born again. The reason, because we were all born wrong to start with. We came from the bloodline of Adam of the garden. We were all born sinners, undone without God. But Christ took your place, my sin and your sin, that we could believe toward Calvary and be washed in the blood this morning. Enoch walked with God. And I want to say in this walking with God, you must realize there was a commission to respond. As God made this interruption, as God gave this invitation, as God played this interference, there was an inspiration. At 65 years old, Enoch walked with God. Are you walking with God today? Are you saved by the grace of God? You say, preacher, I've done way too much wrong. No, let me tell you, failure's not final this morning. If you're a child of God and you found yourself out in sin, can I tell you, Jesus wants you back in into such a close fellowship the way that it used to be. You don't have to stay out there in sin. You can come back home this morning. And you, sinner friend that's never been saved by the grace of God, Jesus died for you. He died for me. And I never heard that till I was a grown man. But I'm glad, Brother Jerry. I'm glad, Brother Felton. I'm glad, Brother Michael. I'm glad, Brother Lee. I'm glad, Brother Jerry. I'm glad, Brother Mark, that I heard the news. And there was an interruption happened in my life. And God said something to me. Has God ever said anything to you? I want to say this morning, in Revelation 22, you can hold your place. I'm going to, since we don't have church tonight, I can preach a long time this morning. Revelation 22, verse number 16. He said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. And the root and the offspring of David, the bride and the morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There was a commission to respond. Have you ever responded to the Great Commission? Where God called you and you responded. There was a commission to respond, walking with God. Number two, there was a compliance to respect. Now, you'll notice this in Genesis 5. The Bible said twice that Enoch walked with God. The Bible never said that about anybody else. Twice. Enoch walked with God. And then we find out in Enoch walked with God. I'm going to tell you, God's somebody that you can walk with this morning. Now there's a compliance to respect. I want to say there's obstacles in our way walking with God. There's the flesh. It's always a battle with our flesh. The flesh wants to do bad things, wicked things. The Bible said that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So there's always obstacles in the way walking with God. And I want to say not only obstacles, but there are a lot of obstructions on the way. The devil loves to get you so busy. He wants to get you plugged into this world in such a way that you don't take time every day to walk with God. Now, Enoch walked with God. There was a commission to respond. There's a compliance to respect. There were obstacles in the way. There were obstructions in the way. But I want to say, there was obedience in the way. You must give God the right of way. There must be a yielding to the Spirit of God. This Bible teaches we are children of God. The Spirit of God lives in us. In the Old Testament, God did not live in people. He came upon people. But now in the New Testament, in this church age, in this age of dispensation of grace, when you're saved, God comes to live in you. And we must yield and give Him the right of way. You see, there are obstacles in the way walking with God. There are abstractions in the way walking with God. There must be an obedience in the way walking with God. Every day I get up, it is my heart to walk with God. And it requires obedience. God will ask you to do things that you don't want to do, but we must be obedient. Have you ever just want to tell somebody what you really thought? And they really need to hear it. But you don't need to say it. God will handle it. And so I want to say, in Ephesians chapter number 4, and verse number 1 of Ephesians 4, verse number 1, I therefore, the priesthood of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another. Hey, folks you go to church with, you'll have to forbear some things. You have to put up with some things. Quit giving everybody a piece of your mind. You ain't got no more to pass around. You bow out of mine now. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Walking with God, there's a commission to respond. There's a compliance to respect. Enoch soon found out that he must comply with respect. You'll not go your way walking with God. You must go His way. Number three. Not only a commission to respond and a compliance to respect, but thirdly, there had to be courage to resist. Now, there had to be decisiveness. He had to decide, God, I'm tired of walking with this crowd 65 years. I'm going to start walking with somebody that can take me places. And so I want to say, thirdly, there must be a courage to resist. There must be a decisiveness. There must be a determination. And there must be a dedication to walk with God. We must learn to crucify this flesh. We must learn to yield to the Spirit of God as we walk with Him daily. You know, I want to ask you something. I'm not throwing rocks. I live in this culture. I'm a whippet preacher. I don't live in a corn crib every week. I know where I stays at. But if all of us spend as much time in this book as we do on our iPhones, I wonder where we'd be with God this morning. I wonder if we spend as much time with God and let Him talk with us through this Word, where we'd be with God this morning. Oh my goodness, you see, walking with God, there had to be in His life and in your life and mine a courage to resist. We have a changed life. When you walk with God, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew. Now listen, I'll go to the grave with this flesh that haunts me. This flesh wants me to do opposite of this Bible. But something that lives in me now called the Spirit of God will lead and guide me into all truth if I'll submit and be obedient to Him. Now, courage to resist. We must stand up. If Enoch walked with God, he had to have courage to resist. Now, I wonder how many folks said, he's one of them Bible toters. He's one of them folks don't have any fun. Folks partying and acting crazy, they ain't having fun. They're living a life of misery. They're miserable on drugs. They're miserable off drugs. Only the life of God is worth living. And so you see this morning, there must be a courage to resist. If you're going to walk with God, you must realize we have a changed life. In Romans 6, in verse number 4, some of you that are walking with God and you work and you job, you must learn that you must have courage to resist. You can't go with the flow. Romans 6, verse number 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man's crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Courage to resist. We must stand up against the social order. At the UK this morning, you'll notice they had a massacre yesterday. They took all the people's guns. And I'm not up advertising to start killing everybody, but I believe with all my heart the Lord wants us to stand up and protect our family. Amen! I got Bible to back it up this morning. He told the disciples before they go, said, you be sure to get you two swords before you go with you. I don't believe in killing nobody, but I do believe in taking care of my family when thugs come to break my door in and kill your children and grandchildren. I believe that we got the God-given right to protect our country, protect our home, protect our church, and protect our Bible. And ain't no California liberal going to talk me out of nothing. Now, I want to say this morning, Enoch had courage to resist. We must resist the flow of temptation that's come into our communities. We must resist the culture that everything's fine, just go along with it. Young children, let me tell you, right is still right, wrong is still wrong. Sin's going to get you in trouble. Sin's putting you and me in the graveyard. And we better stay away from sin. Courage to resist. But then, not only a commission to respond. Has God ever said anything to you and you responded to Him? Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. A commission to respond. A compliance to respect. A courage to resist. But I want to say, fourthly, a commitment to remain. Some of y'all like this. Don't miss this point. This is real good. This is one of the highlights of the whole message. The commitment to remain. He had a commitment to be upright. Watch this, Brother Kevin. He walked with God. Some of y'all get that tomorrow evening. But he had a commitment to be upright. He walked with God. And can I tell you that God wants us to stand upright and stand for what's right. We ought to be standing for our children's freedom. We ought to be standing for our grandbabies' children. Mom and Daddy, it does matter to bring your children to church. It does matter to raise your family in a Bible preaching place. It does matter. You see, he had a commitment to remain upright. When it's easiest, and it's always easiest to do the wrong. Always easiest to do the wrong. It takes a little more to do right. And he walked upright. That's where we need all to get this morning, is walking upright. They said about the early disciples, these men that have turned our town upside down. I tell you why they turned it upside down. Because it wasn't upside right. We need Christians to be walking upright. We ought not need a contract to pay our bills. If you owe a debt, you ought to pay it the best you can. And if you can't pay it, you ought to go to them and say, I ain't got the money now, but I'm going to work on it. And working on it ain't going to Outback and Longhorn spending what y'all done paid your debt. You don't go buy a new shotgun if you ain't paid for the one you've got. Commitment to remain. He had a commitment to remain upright. He walked with God. He had a commitment not only to walk upright, but I believe he had a commitment to upset. You're going to upset some people if you walk with God. I didn't see it. Most every enemy I've got in this life, I upset them because what this book says. And if anybody here that I've upset you, contrary to this book, you come and let me know. I want to make it right. But if you're upset because I preach this book, get over it. Get over it. Line up with it. And I'm going to tell you, if you walk with God, you'll have to learn that you'll have to walk upright, and you will walk and you will upset some people. Well, let's just have a little beer. Well, a little beer leads to a lot of beer. A lot of beer leads to drunk driving. Ask my wife what drunk driving done to our family. It took a man out of McIntyre Curve in our camp meeting. Left a woman who was happily married to raise 3 children by herself. Just because somebody thought a little bit of alcohol wouldn't matter. That's hogwash. If you're going to walk with God, you better learn you're going to have to walk upright and you're going to upset. Turn me off. Turn me off the radio. Ain't nobody's business. God help us as men to be men again. God help you as ladies to be a lady again. He had a commitment to remain. He had a commitment to remain upright. Daddy's, your children's counting on you to do right. You'll notice walking with God, he was upright. No doubt he upset, but I want to say that he upheld. We must uphold what this Bible says. We must uphold this only Word of God that He has entrusted us with, this King James Version Bible. In these last days, if it saved Grandpa, it'll save Grandma. If it saved me, it'll save you. This is the wonderful Word of God, and there's nothing wrong with this Bible this morning. We must learn to uphold. We've got to uphold standards. We've got to live right in front of our children and a generation that's coming up that knows very little about God. What happened to the... You know, I went to a funeral at the Methodist Church. Brother Jason's granddaddy was there, had on a pair of overalls. Had another old-timer. I wish I'd have got a picture. Megan said, Daddy, you ought to snap that picture. There's there at a graveyard, Brother David, 2 old-timers sitting there with their hats on, overalls, both of them nearly 90 years old. And I got to looking, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, right there's why this country's falling apart, because these men are going to heaven. There's nobody left that's standing to uphold what's right. It's still right to do right. So, preacher, I don't see how you get to preach revivals the way you preach here. I'm not in charge of the preaching there. I'm in charge of the preaching here. A commitment to remain. He had a commitment to be upright, to upset, and to uphold. Ephesians 6, verse number 12. Watch your Bibles. Ephesians 6, verse number 12. For we wrestle not. It is a struggle, isn't it? If you don't think it's a struggle, you just try walking with God tomorrow. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I wish we did. Then you know who to lock up. But against principalities. Against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to tell you, not only is spiritual wickedness in low places, it's in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, having done all to stand. I mean, sell your last bird dog to stand. Having done all to stand. And some of you ladies need to stand with your man. I know that's a song. But it makes pretty good preaching. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Hell, like we ought to be shining in dark places. Let your light shine before men. Be salt of the earth. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. A commitment to remain. Fifthly, I move on. Walking with God. There must be a commission to respond, I believe with all my heart. There must be a compliance to respect. There must be courage to resist. There must be a commitment to remain. But fifthly, I want to say, no doubt Enoch had a communication to rely. God talks. God touches. God trains. A communication to rely. You ever notice when you walk with people and they talk? A lot of times me and Miss Renee will be talking and she's got words. Sometimes she just mumbles stuff. She don't talk clear. She just sort of mumbles. I say, what? And she just hushes. She won't say nothing. She's so mad then she won't say nothing. But I'll guarantee you one thing, friend. He's got a voice like nobody else's voice. You see, he had a communication he could rely on. Why don't you quit asking everybody what you ought to do and ask God what you need to do? He knows. And I've never had him tell me one thing that wasn't right. I've had him tell me things I didn't like. But I've never had him tell me nothing but the truth. And the Bible said, truth sets you free. You see, there's a communication to rely. God talks, God touches, God trains. Six, there's a comfort to receive. Could you imagine walking with God 300 years? He started at 65, he lived to 365, he walked with God 300 years. Can you imagine the comfort he received walking with God? Can I tell you there's no comfort like His comfort when you walk with God? I've been in a tizzy for a long time in my life, and I'm one of them kind of people, I stay in a tizzy. Me and Brother Mike, that's why we balance so good. Not a lot rocks him, Brother Felton. Son, I'm on a roller coaster. I'm either out yonder or I'm in the well. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. There's never been nobody could settle me down like God. There's never been nobody could give me peace like God. The other day, backing out of my driveway, I prayed. God spoke to me, and I've been in a tizzy about it. I'm not a tizzy about it anymore. God said something. Now, I've noticed, Brother Hyde, when God says something, you can take it to the bank. So many times, building this ministry, God says something. He wouldn't say a lot. I've noticed walking with God, He don't say a lot. Because He don't have to say a lot. God would just give me a word. And one of the low places of my life that I needed so bad. God, I need a word. Does anybody need a word this morning? God, if You'd just give me a word. Them disciples all through that Bible. They said, Lord, just a word. They said, what a word is this? It's a believable word this morning. God speaks, say something this morning. Because if God don't say nothing, won't nothing be said. I want to say today, closing, there was a communication that he could rely. God touches, God talks, God trains. There was a comfort to receive. In John 14:16, it's amazing about the Spirit of God. But in John 14 and verse number 16, I will pray the Father, He shall give you another, the Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Let me ask y'all something. Can I ask y'all something that's not walking with God, don't know God? When your family walks in a funeral home, how are you going to get comfort? when they bury your closest loved one, I'm going to tell you, a preacher ain't going to have nothing he can say. They something happened to a family last week. Everybody's well aware. There's no man got nothing to say. But the Spirit of God that lives in us can give you comfort through your storm. Give you what you need in your crises. And you that are not saved by the grace of God this morning, I urge you and I beg you to come to Christ today. The Spirit of God is a comfort like no other kind. I remember the day I got saved. I've never had a peace like that in all my life. It's like this whole world come off me. I had the peace of God that passes all understanding. And there's been times and hard places when God would say something to me. The Spirit of God would give me peace that only the Spirit of God can give. Can you imagine? He walked without God 65 years, another 300 years he walked. Don't you believe that he could compare the experiences? Let me tell you something. There's heartaches and there's hard times walking with God, but I'd sure rather be walking with him than without him. There's a comfort to receive. Seven. And I've got eight. I'm nearly done. I'm generally a four-point preacher, but I'm an eight-point preacher this morning. Seven. And I want you to listen. I want you to listen good, because it's Bible truth. You see, when Enoch walked with God, there was a community to regulate. You know what's holding this world together? Christians. You know what's keeping God from returning? You know what's keeping this place from being total chaos? The Spirit of God. I believe walking with God, God entrusts us that we'd have a community to regulate. We must regulate our community by testimony. They still a lot of good people. By task. Matter of fact, he is the first prophet, Enoch was. God gave him something to say. He said in the book of Jude, in verse number 14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they've ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. A community to regulate. We must regulate our community by testimony. Young people, you ought to be a testimony alive before you go to school. There's a testimony, a task, and there's a trial, a trail. Let me ask you this. He left a trail. What kind of trail are me and you leaving behind? Miss Sherry, won't you come? Please. A community to regulate. He regulated it with a testimony. He regulated it with a task, and He regulated it with a trail. I was talking about them old-timers sitting on that grave plot the other day at that funeral I seen. There they was. We had the grave dug over here. I stand over here at the tent with the family of the Bible. There sat them two old-timers that helped dig that grave. Brother Lee, they're sitting over there in their overalls and their old hats. And I looked, and their eyes were growing dim. They was looking at me across through there. And I got thinking, look at the trails that them old men have laid through this community. What kind of trail are you leaving? The Bible wrote, Enoch walked with God. Oh, they talked about him. I just read to you how they talked about him. And Jude, let them talk.
Let it be between you and your God this morning. You see, a community that we must regulate, somebody's got to keep this place going. And it's you. It's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you. God's got us all scattered just to be a light. You're different. You don't do what they do. You'll notice this, you're always the first ones they come to when they need help. Brother David, Brother Tim, Brother Mike, all you people at Liberty Baptist Church, I want to hear this from your preacher. I'm leaving. I want to tell you this before I go today. The Lord tarries His coming and we're gone. People pass by and they'll see this old church on the hillside. There's somebody walked with God. Are you leaving a trail that God could pin? He walked with God. A lot of you walk with big men. But you'll never walk with nobody no sweeter. No greater. No kinder than God. Lastly, Miss Sherry's going to play. I want to open this altar this morning. You see, walking with God, there's not only a community to regulate, but there's a comparative to realize. There was a tarrying 300 years. God let him walk with him. There was a transforming. Can you imagine, y'all, watch this. And we're going home, watch this. Can you imagine Brother Kevin walking with God 300 years? What a transforming life that he made out of Enoch. You that are walking with God, look how He's transforming you. You know, you might not be where you need to be this morning, but if you're a child of God, you're a long way from where you used to be. Now, when I do wrong, you know what I do? I cry about it. I go to my altar and I ask God to forgive me of it. That used to not bother me. But now, as I'm walking with God, things bother me. My children said one of the greatest things, and I hope they never rub off of me one day, they said, "Daddy, little things bother you. Would you please pray that you'd keep a preacher in me that little things bother me?" Because the little things lead to big things. When they quit bothering us. I want to ask you something now as a country preacher.